showboat. They will study this time the question and answer toward the end of the chapter Bendo Wa, mentioned by Dogen. This is very interesting question and answer made by Dogen Zenji himself. when he came back from China, immediately he left in Kyoto, but he didn't do anything because of circumstances. He just stayed at the small temple. And at that time he wrote this Bendo Wa first. before he would start to teach his disciples, before he would move to Koshoji Temple in Kyoto. So this is the first work of Dogen Zenji. It's very interesting article, this one. So I think there are those days, there are many questions about Zazen he emphasized. So I think he made many 18 questions and answered to those questions. So it's very interesting question and answer. The question one, now I have heard and understand the sublime merit of Zazen, however, an unthinking person might have doubts and say there are many entrances to the Buddha way, Buddha Dharma. What is the reason for your advocacy of Zazen alone? Answer, because it is the right entrance to the Buddha Dharma. Question 2. Why is it alone the right entrance? Answer, the great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, beyond doubt, rightly transmitted Zazen as the wonderful means for attaining the way. Also, the Tathagatas of the three pillars all attain the way through Zazen. There is a reason they have transmitted it from one to another as the right entrance. That is not all. Patriarchs from the western skies of India to the eastern earth of China all have gained the way through Zazen. Therefore, I now point it out to men and devas as the right entrance. Question 3. It may be that Zazen as the right entrance derives from the right transmission of the Tathagata's wonderful means, or from following in the path of the patriarchs. It is truly beyond the minds of ordinary men. Though it may be so, ordinary men believe reciting sutras and nembutsu should naturally be causes effecting satori, but to sit idly doing nothing, how can that be of help in gaining satori? Answer. This answer is so long, so I think a little bit I read. Answer 3. By picturing as you did a moment ago the unsurpassed great Dharma and Samadhi of the Buddha as sitting idly and doing nothing, you malign the great vehicle. Your illusion is indeed profound. It is like being in the middle of great ocean and saying there is no water. Thankfully, Buddhas are already sitting serenely in Jijuyu Samadhi. Does this not constitute extensive merit? It is to be pitied that your eyes is not yet opened, that your mind is still drunk. The spiritual realm of Buddhas is totally incomprehensible. It is not to be reached by the workings of the mind. Still less can it be known by a man of disbelief or inferior intelligence. Only a person of great capacity based on right faith is able to enter here. Even were a person of disbelief given teachings of it, he would find it difficult to receive them. Even on Vulture Peak, there were some the Buddha allowed to leave. If right faith rises in your mind, you should practice religious discipline and study under a master. If it doesn't arise, you should cease for a while and regret the fact of not receiving benefits of the Dharma from the past. Those three questions are all connected, talking about the right entrance. Zazen is exactly right entrance to get into the Buddha's world. So what is right entrance? Why does Dogen Zenji emphasize that Zazen is right entrance? So, number one is already Dogen Zenji mentioned, it is right entrance to the Buddha Dharma. That's why I emphasize how important Zazen is. So, right entrance, I think right means right in Buddhism is not the emphasis of self-centeredness in each religion makes. Each religion always put the emphasis on that it's on religion, how important it is, how right his religion is. But I don't think right in Buddhism is not the emphasis of the egoist self-centeredness, which each religion often manifests. Okay? Is that clear? So right is, I think, the right means thoroughgoing. In Pali or Sanskrit, if you say Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, Sa means the togetherness, togetherness or joy. That is a sa. So if you see something including all beings, that is a perfect. It's perfect. Perfect state of existence. If you see yourself including all sentient beings, your presence is perfect. But if you see yourself separate from all sentient beings, you are not perfect. So you are pretty shaky. But regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, your presence is exactly perfect at best. Thoroughgoing state of existence, because your life is supported by Dharma. So that is so-called right, or just sa, S-A, means togetherness or joy. So that right sometimes is translated as sublime or subtle, we translate sometimes. So Saddhama Pundarika Sutra in Japanese, myo ho renge. Myo means subtle. So subtle dharma, myo ho means subtle dharma. So in Japanese, you know, Soka Gakkai people always chant the title of the Lotus Sutra, Saddhama myo ho renge kyo, you know. Nam myo ho, nam means namo, namo. You devote yourself to. So namo myo ho ren, nam and nam myo ho ren nikyo in Japanese. They always chanting every day. So that is a right. So right is right means a thoroughgoing. That's something thoroughgoing is not something you should research or you should analyze and try to get something in your hand. But I think you should just accept. Just accept. In other words, just accept means believe. That is called to believe, faith. So faith is to believe in you, to believe in Dharma. Means to accept you, supported by all living beings, all beings. That is exactly best. So that is simultaneously entrance gate to get into Buddha's world. That's why faith, if you have a faith, simultaneously it makes your life stable. Because you can get into immediately Buddha's world. So that strength is coming from the under the ground. It's coming up constantly. But it is not the visible with the naked eye, but it's always in the bottom of your heart. So that is right entrance to the Buddha Dharma. Okay? So why, next question two, why is it wrong, the right entrance? Then he says, answer is, the great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, beyond doubt, rightly transmitted Zazen as the wonderful means for attaining the way. Also, the Tathagatas of the three periods all attained the way through Zazen. That is the reason they have transmitted it from one to another as the right entrance. So from this point, right entrance is something which Buddhas and ancestors from century after centuries has received and transmitted to next generations. to one, then from one to another. Exactly. But one to another, transmit from one to another doesn't mean that what I give something what you don't have to you. Okay? It doesn't mean this. You have already, I have already, okay? So receive and transmit means you have already something. So you have to dig it out by you. Okay? So that is a practice. So the teacher and Buddha's teaching helps support in many ways to find it. But to find it is not to find or to know intellectually, no. So you have to accept it and receive it. Exactly. To receive is to receive your life, or to receive your object as something thoroughgoing and perfect and best. So I think this is to receive means the human action which you have to do before you know, or you research, you analyze. That is called imitate or emulate. You have to emulate or you have to imitate. So Zazen is what? Zazen is that which ancestors and Buddhas have emulated. Zazen as it truly is. So, from here says, answer is, the great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha beyond doubt rightly transmitted Zazen as the wonderful means for attaining the way. Wonderful means, I don't think it is means. In Japanese we call jutsu. In Japanese, jutsu is a very interesting term. It consists of the two parts. One is to go along. The other one is solicitation or seeking. Okay? And usually, jutsu means technique or a way, a road, or a path. So that means it is a path, or it is a way, or it is a road. One should go along. So two paths, it consists of the two paths, to go along, and also the other one is solicitation. Is that okay? Solicitation? Solicit. To solicit. To seek for. To research. So, the solicitation or seeking which should go along constantly. That is called jutsu. Here says means. But it's not means, it's a path. It's a passage, or it's a road, it's a way everyone should go along before you analyze it, what it is. You just do it. So that is something wondrous, because beyond your analysis, your understanding beyond human speculation. That's why it is wondrous, subtle, sublime, majestic. So life, present, your life is something sublime and wondrous. So this is the meaning of means here. So okay. Also, the Tathagatas of the three pillars all attain the way through through Zazen. That is the reason why they have transmitted it from one to another as right entrance. That is not all. Patriarchs from the western skies of India to the eastern earth of China all have gained the way through Zazen. Therefore, I now point it out to men and devas as the right entrance. So, I think, regardless of whether you like or dislike, anyway, there is something you have to receive and transmit it. Transmit to next generation. This is a sublimity of life, respectfulness to life. Well, if you live in this world as a human life, we human beings, so well, you have to receive, you have to appreciate your life and transmit it to next generation. How sublime it is, how important human life is, how respectful human life is. Not only human life, all sentient beings' life. But it's very difficult to receive without explanation. That's why we want to know what the Zazen means, why we have to emphasize so much Zazen. Okay? So I think according to Uchiyama Roshi, who wrote the book, The Defining Your Life, he uses very often letting go of the brains, thoughts. Letting go of thoughts. In other words, the state of existence which your brain is letting go. Okay? Then this is completely beyond your speculation. In other words, I mentioned the other day, when you really put your body in a hot bathtub and then you say, wow, that before you say wow, the state of what you just put your body and mind in the bathtub before you say in a word is complete beyond your speculation, which means it is a oneness between the water and you and all sentient beings. That is oneness. From that oneness, you can really get something which is simple, very simple way. That is just wow. Wow, that's it. But if you say wow, most people are really involved in a wow expressed in a word. That is a samsaric word. Finally, we forget to that first stage from which wow comes. But an important point is we have to come back to that first stage from which the very basic fundamental word, simple word, comes out. That is our practice. That is called Buddha's world. We call Buddha, Buddha's land, Buddha's world. So no, nothing to poke ahead into it. You just put yourself there and receive it, that's it. That is, so I think the right entrance means, creative state of existence which occurs in the sphere of nothing. Sphere of nothing means sphere of nothing beyond your speculations. Okay. In other words, in the sphere of the first stage from which very basic fundamental world, your very basic fundamental experience comes out. That is Buddha's world. That is called right entrance. So that is exactly put yourself in that right entrance. And then from this basic fundamental world, so-called world coming up, and dualistic world coming up. So question three, but still there is a question. There is a still question. I understand that there is first entrance, right entrance, before you analyze, you synthesize, you know, what the zazen means. Anyway, we understand it because Buddha's ancestors have transmitted from one to another from century after centuries. That's why we should do it. Yes, we understand it. But it's two questions. That question is third one. He says, it may be that Zazen as right entrance derives from the right transmission of the Tathagata's wonderful means, or from following in the path of the patriarchs. It is truly beyond the minds of ordinary men. Well, but how do ordinary men do this? Do this kind of zazen. So that's why it is truly beyond the mind of ordinary men. Though it may be so, ordinary men believe reciting sutras, nembutsu should naturally, because it's effecting satori, but to sit idly. Idly doing nothing, how can that be of help in gaining satori? Well, there is already dualistic sense there. We always start to practice zazen in order to get the satori, in order to get the happiness, something like that. So if you start to practice zazen on the basis of this idea, very naturally, satori or something wonderful is far from us. So I am not, you know, enlightened person. I am not a happy person. So I need happiness. I need enlightenment or satori. Then you really try to do. That is one of the technique, you know, always, wherever you may go, always people give you in that way. People teach you in that way. This is ordinary life. Schools, business, and whatever, usual everyday life, always there is in that way. But I think spiritual life or religious life is not to emphasize in taking care of human life in that way. No. If you do it, very naturally, you never get perfect peace or happy or repose and bliss. You never settle down yourself in repose and bliss, so-called perfect peace. So, very naturally, the spiritual life emphasizes completely something different from what we have usually done. But it is completely different from usual way of life. So that is non-dualism, we say. But non-dualism seems to be something far beyond, far from us. But non-dualism is exactly within us. I think this question, number three, I think many people have this kind of questions. Well, even Zazen, there are many kinds of Zazen sitting, meditations, Christian meditation. And then last year I went to the Colorado and to participate in a conference in the Christianity. And contemporary Christian meditation groups there, and many kinds of people there, and discuss about meditations. But each person completely deal with meditation in a different way. But usually they use office meditation as a means. And there are many meditation, yoga meditations, and yoga meditation. But yoga meditation itself is not dualistic; it's non-dualistic. But people use yoga meditation as a dualistic technique. At that time, endlessly, you have to seek for the yoga meditation in order to what? Always there is a purpose, always there is a certain stage you have to reach. If you can't, you are a failure. So very naturally, there is the encouragement there, but on the other end, there is a disappointment there, always. So how can you get the peaceful? And also sitting in Zazen, and even Zazen in Zen, okay? There are a couple of different Zazen there. Rinzai Zazen, and Soro Zazen, and Obaku Zazen, Wanpo Zazen, Chinese Zazen, Korean Zazen, and many kinds of Zazen. Even you can say, mainly everyone knows Rinzai and Soros, okay? Rinzai, if you practice Rinzai Zazen, what do? Always the teacher gives you koan, and you have to research and give an answer to these koans. You have to pass in many koans. By Zazen. So Zazen is a means. So main practice is to find a solution or to pass in the koans. So Zazen is secondary. So very naturally, Zazen is a means. Even the Soto priest in Zazen in Japan always mentions that sometimes like this. Of course, Zazen is important, but Zazen is not final things you have to do. But it is a means. Still people say so. But I don't think it is right understanding of Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching generally, as a whole. Not Buddha Shakyamuni's life, but that is all of your life. If you don't accept your life in that way, you never get peace. So it's very difficult for you, maybe, but it's
But you have to listen to this teaching and practice this teaching. Otherwise, you know, it's pretty hard to understand the world and the human beings and the peace and the harmonies, or whatever you say. So, very naturally, people complain about the Zazen practice, just the sitting. Because there are obviously, even in Buddhism, there are many schools. Kagon Buddhism, Avasantaka Sutras, and Hosso schools, and Buddhist psychologies, and Vipassana meditations, Vietnamese meditation, and mentioned by Thich Nhat Hanh, and many kinds of things. And then, you always say, it's ridiculous to just sit. If you are really a great person who has great capacity for becoming Buddha, you can do it. But how? How about ordinary men who don't understand this one? So most people complain this one. But that complaint you made is already questionable. Because if you say so, you already put a certain label on you. I am ordinary men who are different from saint or great person. But basically, you are great present. You are great people. I think the most important point is right now, right here, what exists right in the process of your activity, flow of activity, there is obvious questions. If you don't, well, for instance, I mentioned so already, if you make a complaint, I'm not a great person, I'm ordinary. That is already, you put the label on you. That is already, you put yourself down. But actually, you are not. So that is a question. So very naturally, if you want to be free from that particular label, I think you should accept and receive it and do it. That's all we can do. That is called emulate, imitate. What do something as a Buddha? Behave as a Buddha. Before you think whether you are a great person or not, anyway, you do it as a Buddha. And then you can have creative life. But you don't see it. But actually, if you do it, the effort of what you have made is great reward for you, even though you don't see it. If you take one step, anyway, it means to proceed. Anyway, if you practice calligraphy on one piece of paper now, it is a progress. But we don't believe it. Because it's not good calligraphy. If you see it with your naked eye, you don't believe it. But it is already progress. Because you have done. In Buddhism, you should believe this one, okay? Cause and effect exists simultaneously as a one. Okay. Cause is effect. Effect is cause. Because this is, in the Buddhist world, it happens always. If you do gassho now, in peace, in harmony, it is a peace. Simultaneously. So cause, this cause, is in the realm of flow of activity. Cause and effect are one. But on the other hand, in terms of intellectual sense, cause and effect are separate. So very naturally, you shouldn't ignore cause and effect. But on the other hand, you shouldn't be bogged down with the cause and effect, because cause and effect are one. So that is already in the core and there, you know. Wild fox, if you read this koan, it's very difficult koan, but it is very interesting. It is a most important point. We should understand constantly through your practice. So if you do it simultaneously, it is progress, but you don't see it. So, very naturally, all you have to do is take best care of one step. That's all you can do. Instead of comparing with the many steps, okay? What you will take. So right now, right here, you should take one step with best effort. That is, so that's why answer. Let's see the answer, okay? By picturing as you did a moment ago the unsurpassed great Dhamma and Samadhi of the Buddhas as sitting idly and doing nothing, you malign the great vehicle. Malign means to speak it of, means you have doubt. Doubt means you don't trust in yourself, the self, and teacher, and Dhamma. Okay. Or, you say, Dhamma means triple treasures, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Or you can say, so doubt. Doubt is one of the five hindrances. That is a doubt. Doubt is not to trust in the self and teacher and Dhamma. So here says you malign the great vehicle means you already speak ill of the self and the teachers or people or all sentient beings and Dhamma. Means that you speak ill of others, you put yourself down and the people and also all living beings. If you put yourself down, very naturally you can accept the world, Dhamma, as they truly are. Very naturally, miserable world. So, that's why it says you malign the great vehicle. Your illusion is indeed very profound. So that's delusions. Delusion means hindrances. Doubt is coming up constantly. No matter how long you listen to Buddha's teaching, yes, I understand, but I don't believe it, I don't trust it, myself always. You always repeat same things. That's why Dogen Zen says, your illusion is indeed profound. Well, what it means, he says, it is like being in the middle of a great ocean and saying there is no water. It's ridiculous, but we do it. We are Buddha, but we don't believe it. Sit down, Zazen, with wholeheartedness. This is simultaneously great way to get into the Buddhist world beyond your speculation, but we don't believe it. Even though you believe and do it, but still you don't believe how much your practice is progressing. You don't believe it. So, that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned in this Bendoa, even though you sit down in minutes, you become Buddha. But that is the so-called right entrance, okay? Right entrance, right means no gap between you and Buddha's world. That is far going. How can you get no gap between you and Buddha's world? That is far going practice. You have to do it. So Zazen is very simple way to anyway to participate in this far going state of existence. It's very simple. And also this is all we want to do. And then we make a schedule and let you sit down. Then the moment when you be there, you start grumbling at. That is so-called ignorance, we say. We are there, but we don't believe it. But if you're away from it, you're always seeking for that one. And then the Buddha's office, please come here and be here and see it. So Buddha put you right in the middle of Buddha's world. Then immediately, human beings always start to grumble over, and complain. Why do you do this? This is called ignorance. We don't know why. So that's why Buddhas and Bodhisattvas never have a chance to get into the Buddhist world. Always try to walk with all sentient beings. Because human beings always grumble at, always going in a different way. So Bodhisattvas never have a chance, great chance, to be present in the Buddha's world for themselves. Because they have to see. They have to see the all sentient beings, and they have to walk hand in hand with all sentient beings. Yeah, well, this is a very simple analogy. He mentions it is like being in the middle of great ocean and saying there is no water. I think you should taste it again and again in your life. Okay? Something important is right under your knees. Okay? But don't poke your head where it is. Before you poke your head, just receive it and do it. And great happiness and the stability and the peace is right there, okay? Right in the middle of a flow of activities. But when you think of it, it is already. You are far from it. So, thankfully, Buddhas are already sitting serenely in Jijyu Samadhi means self-joyfulness, okay? Jijyu Samadhi is exactly participating in that Buddhist world beyond human speculation. That just put yourself down. Put yourself in the bathtub, hot bathtub, that's it. And then after that, you create your world. Wow. Or not wow. Because people are different. So sometimes people say wow, but sometimes people don't want to say wow. Still, people hate that hot bathtub. Even though it is hot, wonderful. But whatever you say, wow or not wow, Anyway, first put your body and right in the middle of bathtub. That's it. That's all you can do. That is called oneness. That is called Buddhist world. Did you use samadhi? Self joyous, joyfulness, which is pure and clean and sophisticated, very pure. Everyone can do this. That is called Jijyu Samadhi. That's why Zazen is very simple. Very simple form, and in your everyday, you can do in your everyday life. Just simple form and simple circumstances. It's very wonderful opportunity to do this. So that's why Zazen is Jijyu Samadhi. Okay? Dogen Zenji mentions in this Bendowa. Does this not constitute extensive merit? Well, we don't believe this one, but exactly, it is exactly the best way to do this. And then, if you do it simultaneously, you are, anyway, Buddha. Peace. In other words, peace, perfect peace, thoroughgoing, flow of activities. That's it. What you see, peace, peaceful, what is pure and clean and sophisticated. It is to be pitied that your eyes is not yet open, that your mind is still drunk. Well, this is a long, long habit which we have accumulated. The spiritual realm of Buddhas is totally incomprehensible. So that's why that oneness is oneness which you right after, right in the middle of putting yourself in the hot bathtub is wondrous, totally incomprehensible. You cannot understand it. But practically, if you do it, you are your body and your water, hot bath, all sentient beings, right there. Exactly. But it's very difficult to understand it. So spiritual realm of Buddhas is totally incomprehensible. It is not to be reached by the workings of the mind. No way. But if you keep your mouth shut and just do it very naturally, you are there. Still less can it be known by a man of disbelief or inferior intelligence. Only a person of great capacity based on right faith is able to enter here. You're only the person of great capacity based on right faith is able to enter here. Okay? So you should have a great faith. Who has this great faith? Great faith is already something gifted with already. So you are already great. You have already great capacity. Capacity gifted with faith. Great faith. Great opportunity. Great working. But here says only a person of great capacity based on right faith is able to enter here. But you can say like this, only a person of great capacity gifted with right faith is to be able to enter. To be able to enter here. You are already gifted. even while a person of disbelief given teachings of it, he would find it difficult to receive them. But that difficulty is just the conceptual word, you are going astray, that's it. But actually, you are right there. Which is very simple, and the blooming flowers in the spring, that's it. But what make it possible for you to go astray, that is a conceptual word. So called, I am not ordinary, I am not great persons. So what the great not great person is? Where is a great not great person? That is a conceptual fabricated by you. But originally or underlying essence, you are a great person, gifted with a great faith. So why not accept? Don't be irritated. Don't be agitated. But not the lazy idol. Okay? But not irritated in order to get the satori or happiness itself. Beyond the getting a satori or not, anyway, be present right here, right now, with our going effort. That's all we can do. And while a person of belief, given teachings of it, he would find it difficult to receive them. Even on Vulture Peak, there was some the Buddha allowed to leave. But Buddha knows. Buddhas are very compassionate over all different kinds of beings. But Buddha's bodhisattvas constantly tell you, you are already a great person, gifted with a great faith. So please, continually accept and practice it, taking care of your life with thoroughgoing effort. But still, they don't understand because they don't believe. They don't trust in a great faith gifted with already. So very naturally, they leave. They leave. This is a story in Saddhamma Pundarika Sutras. When Buddha Shakyamuni preached at the Vajra Peak in India, Vajra Peak means Himalaya Mountains. And he started to preach about the Saddhamma, the Avasantika Sutras, and then people, there were many people, hundreds and thousands of people there, non-Buddhist monks and the Buddhist nuns and laymen, Bhikshuni, etc. But it says 500 people tried to leave. The disciple, main disciple, says, asking the Shakyamuni Buddha, is that all right for them to leave? Because that disciple want them to stay there because it is a Buddha's compassion. So why don't you, Buddha Shakyamuni, why don't you stop them leaving? But Buddha says, let them go. So, and then later, Dogen Zenji mentions, if you don't like Zazen, if you really hate Zazen, you can quit. You can quit Zazen for a while. But not just a quit. Okay. Please reflect upon yourself. How can you reflect upon yourself? Means you missed the opportunity to get into, to participate in bigger scale of the universe. That is your reflection, looking at yourself. Not regret. Just looking at yourself. How pity I am to miss the opportunity to participate in the Buddha's world or great universe. But now I am enjoy myself because I taking care of my own world, that's it. Not universal Buddhist world. So I don't like Zazen. I don't want to listen to Buddhist world teaching it there. So at that time you can quit. Just like a Buddha Shakyamuni saying, let them go. So, that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned here, even on Vajra Peak, there were some of the Buddha they allowed to leave. If right faith arises in your mind, you should practice religious discipline and study under the master. If it doesn't arise, you should cease for a while. He says, if you don't want to, you can cease. And regret the fact of not receiving the benefits of the Dharma from the past. Here says regret, but not regret. Okay, not regret, but because from the regret, I think you can have a certain drowsiness. You know? Do you understand drowsiness? No, not drowsiness, restlessness, and remorse. You know, if you are excited in birth, good in the meaning of birth, good or bad, if you're so excited, after that, you reflect upon yourself, and you don't feel peaceful. So uneasy. If you reflect upon yourself. So I think he says regret the fact of not receiving the benefit of the Dharma from the past. It means not regret. I mean, reflect upon yourself. How pity you are! How pity it is that you have missed great opportunity to participate in universal world. That's all we can do. Because in many ways we are supported by the Dharma, so I think in many ways we should connect, we should join the Dharma world, okay? In many ways. That is a practice of mindfulness. In many ways we can practice mindfulness. Practically we can participate in the Dharma world practically. But if you cannot, you can quit. But still, there is an opportunity to participate in the Dharma world. That is reflecting upon ourselves. Thinking Buddha's world, universal world. That is a Dogen Zenji mentions here. If it doesn't arise, you should cease for a while and regret the fact of not receiving the benefits of the Dharma from the past.